If you would, please take a seat for a moment. We're going to come right back to that in just a second. Well, good morning. This is the Sunday that is set aside to celebrate the triumphal entry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into the city of Jerusalem. It's been dubbed Palm Sunday because they suspect palm branches involved in the process. That's how it got its name. I want to share with you for just a moment about 15 minutes. And then I'd like to go right back into some worship because that's really what they spent Palm Sunday doing, was just extolling Jesus as King. But I couldn't help but put some thoughts together here because I was just taking a fresh look at that whole passage, and some things that I'd never seen before kind of leapt out to me. And I just want to kind of pass those on to you because I think it'll give you a little bit different perspective. What I want to share with you this morning, I have a title, and I've called it, If These Walls Could Talk. I would think most of you here this morning have probably heard that phrase before, if these walls could talk. And when we say that, when we have the occasion to use that phrase, what we're really saying is that if the walls are observing everything that goes on in a particular locale, in a particular area, if you will, it's almost like they're taking in things that you and I have long forgot. And if the walls could talk, they could really tell someone everything that went on in that particular room. Eyewitness everything that's been done and said. The triumphal entry that we're celebrating this morning was something that was talked about long before it ever happened. It's important for you to understand that. In fact, the first place that it's mentioned is actually in the book of Daniel that we've been looking at for the last couple of months. It's in the 9th chapter, the 25th verse, and Daniel records saying this, "No one understand this from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the Messiah, the ruler, comes, there will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens." Now, I don't have time this morning to get into all the details of that math, okay? But just trust me with this one. This is the initial prophetic verse that talks about what we're historically celebrating today. The arrival of the anointed one, I put in there Messiah, just so that it was clear for everyone. The arrival of the Messiah, the ruler. And here Daniel begins to prophesy about when that will happen, when it will occur. Now, if you take this verse and you begin to do the math to it, the one thing that you find out elsewhere in Scripture, and actually history bears this out, is that the beginning of the reconstruction of the wall and Jerusalem started to take place in 444 BC. Are you with me? We're AD, right? So this is before Christ has come to planet Earth and is on Earth. Daniel prophesies in 444 BC. What he just talked about would commence, the rebuilding of Jerusalem. And that started to take place after they came out of the bondage and captivity they were in Babylon. Now, if you look further at this verse and elsewhere in Scripture, you'll find out that the month that started was Nisan. That was the month that they started the rebuilding of Jerusalem, the wall in Jerusalem. Now, Nisan is equivalent to our month of March, the one we're in right now. So on the 1st of March, they started the process of rebuilding Jerusalem. Now, if you take all these sevens and 62 sevens and whatnot, and you extrapolate that all out, one of the things you'll find out is it comes to 173,880 days. If you do the math on that, you will find out it ends up being 476 years and 25 days. Okay, now, I just want to make sure everybody is aware where we're at right now. So in 444 BC, Daniel prophesies and says, from the time the rebuilding of Jerusalem starts, there will be 476 years, 25 days before the king, the anointed one, the Messiah, comes to be established as king. Are you with me? Now, their years in the Jewish calendar, their years, instead of 350, what are ours, 356 days? 65. Thank you. On their Jewish calendar, their year was only 360 days. So if you take that all into account, what you'll find out, if you do this thing out, let me get to the next slide here, is that when, if you take all these years and you start at 444 BC, Daniel prophesied that on March 30th, in the year 33 AD, the king would come and be hailed as king. Are you with me? Now, it just so happens that Passover in that year, 33 AD, started on April 3rd. So to the exact date, Daniel prophesied when the king would be ushered in, when he would come, as he did on Palm Sunday, riding into the epicenter of the Jewish religion and faith, Jesus Christ was hailed as king. Are you there? I'm not making this stuff up. This is all real. This is just doing some basic math. You come out with those kind of numbers. Now, Daniel talked about when it would happen, but Zechariah talked about how it would happen. There's nothing mentioned in Daniel about how this was all going to unfold, but God doesn't leave any stone unturned. He wants to make sure that people are real clear about when it happens. So Zechariah prophesies, here it is right here in 9:9, he says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Daniel tells us when it's going to happen. Zechariah tells us how it's going to happen, right? And then we get to, and if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to Luke chapter 19. I don't have it on the screen for you, so I hope you did bring something to look at this morning, a Bible to look at. Again, I'm only going to be talking for 15, maybe 20 minutes at the most. So I'll get back to that idea if these walls could talk. I haven't forgotten about that. But I want you to see with what specificity the prophetic words, both I've already showed you in time-wise how it fell into place, but now we want to look at the details in light of what Zechariah prophesied. Look at verse 28 in chapter 19. Luke 19, verse 28. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem, and as he approached Bethage, and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it, tell him the Lord needs him. Now, I just want to pause right there, because there it's necessary for me to just remind you of something Matthew wrote. Matthew wrote that that when Jesus sent his disciples out there, they actually found a grown donkey I'm not sure what you, I didn't look up to find out what you call a grown donkey. I think you call a grown donkey a grown donkey, but anyways. So there was a, there, we'll say there was a mother donkey there. And Luke, Matthew tells us with the mother donkey was a foal. Now a foal is a from newborn to a year old donkey. And a colt is a male and a filly, just like in a horse, is a female. I did look that up. The colt is the male, the female is a filly. So what we're talking about here is, and I just think about this, Zechariah prophesies hundreds of years before that the way the king would be ushered into his kingdom, would be announced and hailed as king, would be he would be riding on not just a donkey, but a young male donkey that had never been ridden. Are you there? That's quite specific. Especially if somebody's talking about hundreds of years before it actually happens. Now, I think Jesus, I doubt his disciples did at all. They probably didn't have that verse in mind. In fact, I believe they didn't have it in mind, but I know Jesus did. He knew what needed to take place. And so he tells his disciples, I know right where there is a young male donkey that we need. Here is where you'll find it. Get it. We need to use it. And it's all for the purposes of fulfilling a word spoken hundreds of years ago. Are you okay? So we read on in verse 32. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. And they were untying the colt. Its owner asked, why are you untying the colt? And its Lord needs him, so forth and so on. All right. So they take the colt. They take it back to Jesus. And Jesus begins to use this as the means of fulfilling these prophetic passages that we just touched on. And he hops up on, they put him on the donkey. He begins to ride the donkey into Jerusalem. And while that's happening, we all, probably most of you in here know the story. While that's happening, people became incredibly boisterous, incredibly loud in their adulation of, as hailing him as king. Now, it also says that they took their coats, they took clothing that they had, and they began to lay it on the ground there where Jesus was coming on the road, in the way there that in which he was coming. It also says they went and cut branches off of trees and also placed them on the road. This is the early version of the red carpet treatment. No, that's what this is. This is where Hollywood got it, right? This was the red carpet treatment. They were taking their clothing, taking branches, and they were kind of paving a way for him to be ushered in on. It was a way of showing respect, a way of showing honor, a way of exalting somebody that is over there famous and being hailed. But while that is going on, simultaneously, while all this very public, a very, I believe, as you read it, very loud attention is being given to Jesus. They're saying, and Luke records them saying things like, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven, glory in the highest. Matthew records them saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. Now, we got to remember, this isn't happening on the down low. Hey. Everybody, let's give a big cheer. Glory to God in the highest. This is happening. I mean, have you ever seen the Jewish culture, the Arab culture in general? I mean, they aren't shy about anything, right? They're just letting it all hang out. So as this is happening, there are others in the crowd who aren't quite on board. And now they're coming to, if you look in that same passage, they're coming to Jesus and they're saying, in essence, would you please tell your supporters to shut up? It's right there in verse 39. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. You see it? So there are some who are totally entering into this moment. I honestly don't know if they totally understood the significance of it, but I do believe this. I do believe in their understanding of what they thought the Messiah was going to be. I believe these people thought that Jesus was it. Because these accolades that are being given to him are all in reference to, in the ways that, you know, Hosanna to the Son of David. So those are all messages that were meant for the Messiah. So they're letting it all hang out. They're letting their voice hang out. They weren't like, I'm just not like that. They were letting it all hang out. And as they're letting it all hang out, we've got others saying, could you keep these people quiet? Could you get them to sit down and shut up? And Jesus says something very, very, very significant. And this is really what I want to talk to you about. He says this. He says, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. The stones will cry out. Now, when you and I had always, listen, I've gone to church all my life, literally all my life, from 2 weeks old, and I have never, ever, ever known this passage to mean anything other than Jesus referring to some stones or to some rocks. And the image that I've always gotten, I don't know about you, but the image I've always gotten is if these people aren't the ones issuing the declaration and praise of my kingship, these rocks, these stones will start to shout my praises. That's how I've always understood that what Jesus said. I've always seen it that way. And God, we all know God can make, if he can make a donkey talk, he can make stones talk, right? That's not a problem. They're his creation. He can make them do whatever he wants them to do. But there's actually a backstory to this that sheds a whole other light on it. And here it is. There's this idea throughout the whole Bible of a thing we call personification. It's a literary tactic. It's a way of trying to emphasize something you're trying to communicate to other people. I'll give you some examples. After Cain killed Abel, this happens right in the very beginning of the Bible. After Cain kills Abel, and God's kind of looking for Abel, where you at? You know, what's going on here? So on. I mean, God knew what was going on. But he says to this, that he hears Abel's blood crying out from the ground. Okay, now it literally, his blood wasn't crying out from the ground, but it was a way of personifying. It was a way of taking inanimate objects and putting like human-type characteristics, and it happens all through the Bible. You may remember the psalmist talked about the mountains singing and the leaves clapping their hands, right? You may remember that, what did you just say? The heavens declare his glory. Now, the heavens aren't saying anything, but they're given this idea of being like an individual who are speaking forth his glory. Are you there? In the New Testament, Paul talks about this, and he says, all of creation is groaning. And sometimes when I'm sitting out in the tree stand in a fall, I'll hear a tree creaking, and I'm thinking, is that creation groaning? Or is that my knees creaking? You know what I'm talking about, right? But it's this way of trying to emphasize something, trying to make a point. And if you have a Bible that's like mine, and you have little footnotes, but they're called cross-reference Bibles. In other words, after a verse or a section of scripture, sometimes they'll have a little letter A little bitty letter that you can't see unless you have glasses on, but a little bitty letter there. And then you have to take that letter and you go find that letter in the little margin there, and then it'll give you another little verse of scripture that goes with the one you're reading. Are you with me? Okay, now in my Bible, when I read, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out, there is a little letter there, the letter M. So then I find, it's verse 40, I go to my margin, and I find the little letter M, and it tells me to go to this passage, Habakkuk 2:11. And remember I told you I'm calling this If These Walls Could Talk? Habakkuk 2:11 says, the stones of the wall cry out, and the beams of the woodwork will echo it. Now, again, it's important. Listen to me. Listen, this is really important. It doesn't say, it's important, go back and read it. It doesn't say that the rocks will cry out in praise. It simply says the rocks will cry out. Now, you and I assume that must mean praises like these people are doing, but that's not what the Pharisees would have heard. That's not what they would have heard. What they would have heard was, because the crying out in this passage and one other that I'm about to show you, the crying out that's being referenced here is a crying out in judgment against you. That's how they would have heard him when he said the stones will cry out. And here's why. Here's the backstory. When Joshua and the people of Israel were about ready to cross the Jordan River and enter into that promised land that God had spent 40 years getting them to, Joshua in chapter 24, you can find it in your Bible, in the first verse of chapter 4, Joshua begins to take them down memory lane, reminding the people of Israel of everything God had done for them to get them to this point. They're about ready to enter into a place they've never been before, a place they had been promised to get to. It had been taking a long time to get there, but they're finally ready to go into the land. And Joshua is now exhorting the people of Israel, would you please do away with your worshiping of foreign gods? Would you please put sin behind you? Here is everything God has done for you historically, and now we're about ready to enter this grand and glorious land that God has given us. Would you please get your hearts right with God? And let's go into this new land. Let's make a fresh start as we go into this new land. And then Joshua says, listen, he tells some guys, he says, hey, see that rock over there? Bring it over here. And he says to the people, listen to what he says. See, he said to all the people, this stone, this rock right here is going to be a witness against us. It has heard all of the words that the Lord has spoken. You heard it, right, Rock? You heard everything God said to us. You've heard what God's called us to. He's reminded us to live lives that are fully devoted to Him. You heard all that, right? So now and forevermore, these rocks, this rock is going to stand as a witness against you if you are untrue to God. When Jesus said, if these people, here's basically what he said. He said, if these people do not proclaim the truth right now, do you remember that stone that Joshua set over Israel? It's that stone that's going to cry out in judgment against you. You see it? It's these stones right here that stand as a witness. You see, the Bible is littered with this idea that creation, listen, I don't mean to be offensive this morning, creation knows the truth more than you and I do. You see that tree out there? Well, you can't because the blinds are down. That tree, it is out there, that's right. Those trees out there, some of them are probably 150 years old. They've been watching it all unfold. They know better than you and I do what God's been doing and what He's been up to. Because all of creation gets it. Isn't it sad that human beings don't? And this morning, I want to encourage you as we go back to a time of rejoicing, a time of praise. You know, you and I get to be a part of this idea. We can either let creation judge us for falling short, or the Bible presents this idea, we can join with all of creation declaring the praises of our God. Now, you and I can stand there this morning as silent observers, but we've been given, unlike a rock or a tree, you and I have been given a voice. We've been given a mouth. They haven't. Listen, just to let you in, Beauty and the Beast is not real, okay? Candlesticks don't talk, all right? Just, right? They just don't. They don't. They really don't, right? Napkins don't come alive and speak stuff, right? Stones don't. Trees don't. But you and I are blessed to be able to have mouths to declare who Jesus Christ really is. I don't know about you, but I don't want any rock anywhere in judgment against me. I'm going to let my mouth join with the rest of creation in declaring who Jesus Christ really is. Let's do that some more. Would you stand with us this morning? Stand with us, please. Nobody in here this morning will tell you to shut up. I promise. Nobody. No, we got no bouncers. We got no ushers. Nobody going around saying, hey, could you please keep it down over there? In fact, I think we should start getting some cheerleaders. That's what I'm voting for, cheerleaders. You know what I'm saying? I'll leave it right there. Anyways, Lord, thank you. Thank you. We here this morning, we're hundreds of years later, but we've already seen how your thing, it goes beyond borders of time. You are able to speak prophetically hundreds of years before. Here we are hundreds of years after. And we are going to be among those throngs of people entering into that jubilant celebration that you are the Messiah. That is the truth. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You reign eternally forever. And we will not let the rocks stand in judgment over us. We will not let the rocks have to cry out in judgment. We are going to declare the truth. We are going to enter in with all of creation in saying and declaring exactly who you are. Thank you for giving us mouths. Thank you for giving us hearts of flesh that are able to sense and feel and be able to sense the heartbeat of your heart. Thank you for that, Lord. Please receive. Hear it as though it were sung. Hear us this morning as though it were sung for the first time to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We lay down defenses, we put away our pride. There's no need for hesitation, in your presence we're alive. In your presence we're alive. I'm
gonna sing that again.
We lay down defenses, we put away our pride. There's no need for hesitation, in your presence we're alive. In your presence we're alive. When praise goes up, your glory comes down, and all my fears, they fall to the ground. And I won't let the rocks cry out. I won't let the rocks cry out. Oh, when praise goes up, your glory comes down, and all my fears, they fall to the ground. And I won't let the rocks cry out. I won't let the rocks cry out. We want you more than ever, to feel your power in our lives. Our hearts are full of expectations, in your presence we're alive. In your presence we're alive. When praise goes up, your glory comes down, and all my fears, they fall to the ground. I won't let the rocks cry. I won't let the rocks cry. When praise goes up, your glory comes down, and all my fears, they fall to the ground. I won't let the rocks cry. I won't let the rocks cry. No. Let your glory, let your presence come. Let your glory, let your presence come, come, come. Let your glory, let your presence come. Let your glory, let your presence come. Let your glory, let your glory, let your presence come. Your glory, let your presence come, come, come. When praise goes up, your glory comes down, and all my fears, they fall to the ground. And I won't let the rocks cry. Let the rocks cry. Oh, when praise goes up, the glory comes down, and all my fears, they fall to the ground. I won't let the rocks cry. I won't let the rocks cry. I won't let the rocks cry. We'll be right back.
to scream it out from every mountaintop. Your goodness knows no bounds. Your goodness never stops. Your mercy follows me. Your kindness fills my life. Your love amazes me. And I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good, good to me. Nothing and no one comes anywhere close to you. The earth and oceans deep only reflect this truth. And in my darkest night, you shine as bright as day. Your love amazes me. And I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good to me, and I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good. With a cry of praise, with a cry of praise, my heart will proclaim you are good. Sun and rain, my life celebrates. You are good. You are good. With a cry, the cry of praise, my heart will proclaim. You are good. You are good. And in the sun. Good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good to me, to me. And I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are. Sing one more time. And I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good. Good to me. Let's give him a shout of praise.
Now shaking, we trust forever in your name, the name of Jesus. We trust the name of Jesus. You are the only King forever, Almighty God who lifts you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious.
justice you will reign, and every knee will bow. We bring our expectations, our hope is anchored in your name, the name of Jesus. We trust the name of Jesus. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious, you are the only King forever. Almighty God, who lives in higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious.
Just lift up your own words to Him, put your hands together.
Jesus, from age to age you reign. Your kingdom has no end. We lift our banner high. We lift the name of Jesus. From age to age you reign. Your kingdom has no end. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever. Forevermore, you are victorious. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever. Forevermore, you are victorious.
Listen, one of the things that I was thinking about, and I'll leave you with this parting thought. You know, in my home, the walls of our living room have seen it all. If those walls could talk. You know, if we don't begin to vocalize and declare who Christ is, the rocks, the walls will speak out. That's not just for Sunday morning. You understand what I'm saying? That's not the church walls. It's the places that we live and dwell, the places that we frequent. Those walls also are paying attention. All of creation around us. And I just want to exhort you, I want to encourage you. You know, here we are, we're moving forward with the week of Passion. We'll celebrate some things towards the end of the week. But I want us just to spend these next few days, just every opportunity we get, whether we're by ourselves, which is sometimes very revealing. The walls know what we do when we're alone. Right? Right? Right, yeah, they know. They're watching. You're never going to look at the walls in your house the same way ever again. Whether we're alone or we're with our families or whether we're with our coworkers or whatever, may the tenor of our lives be one of just exalting Christ, bringing Him honor and glory. And not giving the creation an opportunity to stand in judgment against us. Just let the week unfold and let your hearts go, be lifted up to Him, He who is worthy of all of our praises. I just want to remind you, could we sing that Amen song as we're going out the door this morning? Thanks. I just want to remind you, Thursday night, we're going to be having this Last Supper meal together. If that's something you'd like to be a part of, make sure you find a clipboard, get your name on there, get your family's number, whatnot. And then Friday night, that's at 6 o'clock. Friday night, we'll be here just remembering our Lord's death on our behalf. We'll be here at 6 o'clock with a time together for that. Lord, as we go from this place today, may your praises be in our hearts. May they come out of our lips. Thank you for giving us mouths to be able to speak. And may our mouths be really good at declaring who you are, whether we're alone or whether we're with others. Be with us this week. Holy Spirit, come and settle over every heart and life here, over every family. Speak to us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If you came here this morning with a prayer need, there'll be folks up here after the service. We'd love to lift you up in prayer in some way. God bless you as you go. Have a wonderful week in Him. Come on back and join us, if not Thursday or Friday, for sure Sunday morning. Let's celebrate the resurrection together. All right, go for it. Well, just play it or something.
You've given us a new name. Sons and daughters of your righteousness, and you've taken off of our shame and given us the gift of holiness. Lord, we're crying out for faith to believe the words you say.
Shall not fail.